From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yo, 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 yo. What is up, good beautiful people? It is March 24th, 2015. Happy, happy Tuesday. You are listening to Current Sports on this beautiful day. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a great show in store for you all. Just this morning, and actually still protruding on right now, Tom Izzo, the head MSU men's basketball coach, is holding his weekly presser to preview that Sweet 16 matchup between the Spartans and Oklahoma Sooners this Friday night. You get to hear from Tom Izzo. Also, Mark D'Antonio took the podium before him to talk about the start of spring football, which officially starts today. Can you believe that? My goodness, folks. Also, there is one insane in the membrane, one of the biggest high school boys basketball games this area has ever seen going down tonight at Lansing Eastern High School. Muskegon takes on Lansing Everett in boys hoops. How about that? We'll chat about that. We'll also invite Chris Solari of the Lansing State Journal, and we'll have Top 5 Tuesday for you and so much more. But as custom here on Current Sports, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners again for this March 24th. All right, let's begin with boys high school hoops. Michigan State basketball commit Deontay Davis was named Mr. Basketball in the state of Michigan yesterday. Now, he's a Muskegon native. Davis is averaging 19 points, 17 rebounds, and 7 assists per game this season with Muskegon High School. Davis has also been named the Gatorade Player of the Year in Michigan and is a McDonald's All-American this year. Well-deserved. Deontay Davis, definitely a phenom in the boys high school game. And I tell you what, folks, this is slated to be one of the biggest boys high school games this area has ever seen. Fresh off of his Mr. Basketball recognition, Davis and his Muskegon Big Reds will square off against Lansing Everett High School and Trevor Manuel in the Class A state quarterfinals tonight. Now, Manuel was the third place finisher for the Mr. Basketball Award and has led Everett to a 23-2 record in their first regional championship game since, get this, 2004. How about that? Now, Muskegon is 23-1. They are the defending Class A state champion. The game is set to tip off at 7 p.m. at Lansing Eastern High School, and that is one hot ticket that, you know, it's going to be a packed house. Standing room only in that Don Johnson Fieldhouse, folks. All right. Sad news around the area of Michigan also when it comes to hoops. Lansing Catholic boys basketball coach Darren Zwick has announced that he is retiring. How about that? Now, Zwick was the varsity coach at Lansing Catholic for the last 12 years and led the Cougars to a share of the conference title in 8 of the last 9 years, including a share of the CAAC white title this year. Darren is a fantastic coach. I've definitely had the privilege of covering him throughout my time here in Mid-Michigan and definitely wish him well. It's said that he's going down to Florida for some sort of coaching job down there possibly. We'll try to get Darren on before he makes that move. All right, the MSU baseball team will square off against Central Michigan in their third home opener this afternoon. The Spartans are 9-11 on the year and are coming off a 1-2 weekend at Ohio State. Now, first pitch is set for 3:05 p.m. at McLean Baseball Stadium. The weather looks good because the sun is shining, the birds are chirping, but it's a bit chilly. If you go out there, make sure you are bundled up, folks. All right, in an interview with Fox 2's Charlie LaDuff, Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh stated that he's not worth the $5 million a year that Michigan is paying him. When asked if he was worth the money, Harbaugh responded with this quote, quote, "Nah, I'm like making a buck just like the next guy. I'm not doing 5 times as much as work as somebody else or doing more work than somebody who's not the head football coach at the University of Michigan." So to answer your question, honestly, I would have to say no. Gotta love that. That's being honest. Let's appreciate that, Jim. All right, Michigan is set to host Australian punter Blake O'Neal on a visit this weekend. Now, O'Neal is a graduate transfer from Weber State and would be eligible to play immediately. Last year at Weber State, O'Neal averaged 44 yards per kick with a long kick of 74 yards. How about that? Now, Michigan is in need of a new punter after All-Big Ten punter Will Hagerup, who graduated after last year. In the NFL, they have changed wording on their completion rule when you talk about catching the football. How about that? Now, under the new wording, a receiver must establish himself as a runner rather than just a football move. Now, he also must have control of the ball and both feet in bounds. The rule came under scrutiny in this year's playoff as a potential game-winning touchdown by Cowboys' receiver, Dez Bryant, was also ruled incomplete, and he did not hold the ball through the process of the catch. I hate that rule, but hey, what you gonna do, right? And last but certainly not least, Princeton women's basketball player Leslie Robinson, the niece of President Barack Obama, received death threats before her game with Maryland on Monday. Now, security was heightened at the game after a phone message detailing the threats that were received. Interesting, folks. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in right now and share your thoughts, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, hey, let's start the show.
It kind of was a decision, but then it really wasn't. I lived in the district of Everett, and then, but it, if I could have found a way, I really would have thought about it like differently. Going back and play with Coach V, I mean, I love him. Like I told you, he's like my dad, basically.
Right.
He's always been there for me, gave me all types of advice and everything like that. It'd have been really cool to play with him, but it's good just to always start something new as well.
But you're also following in your father's footsteps, because I know that you actually, James, played for Lansing Everett back in the 80s, came pretty close to a state championship, am I right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we lost to in the quarterfinals against Antoine Joubert and Detroit Southwestern. Game we should have won. We should have won it all that year. We had the team.
When you see your son sort of walking in your footsteps, so to speak, I mean, hey, does that sort of pull on the heart a little bit?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, every time he, you know, steps on the floor or, you know, when he gets home from school, imagine what kind of day you have, you know, he's happy for him, you know, because he's happy and looking at the body language, see if he really likes it and stuff like that. So it's good that he's going to be a Viking.
Gotta love that. I'm excited to see you play this upcoming season. I tell you that for Desmond, right? Desmond Ferguson, the head coach over there. It's great stuff. Yes, it is going to be on like Donkey Kong tonight, folks, at Lansing Eastern High School. Lansing Everett taking on Muskegon in what is being slated to be the biggest high school boys basketball game here in quite some time. I'm hearing over a decade from some of the local sports writers around the area. I mean, there's a lot of hype surrounded by this matchup. What you just heard, of course, that was a sit-down that I had with Lansing Everett stud, their star, who actually came in third place for the Mr. Basketball Award, Trevor Manuel, who has been stellar all year. He's actually taking his basketball talents after his senior year to the University of Oregon. He's a fantastic player. You're actually slated. When you go to a Lansing Everett game, you better be in store for at least three Trevor Manuel Tomahawks, okay? The kid can get up. He's tall. I mean, he's like 6'9 at that. And I tell you what makes this matchup so intriguing and why it is one of the biggest games Michigan has ever seen has to do with their opponent as well. Muskegon High School has really been so dominant in boys hoops for quite some time now. Now, again, Muskegon is actually the defending Class A state champion, folks. And now they have Mr. Basketball for not only, you know, for back-to-back years now. Deontay Davis, of course, he won the award, just like you heard in our Quick Hit headliners. Deontay Davis is actually coming to Michigan State University to play basketball next year. He is one fantastic player who is tough to guard. Folks, you're talking about 6'10". The kid is big, and he's averaging right now, again, 19 points and 17 rebounds. Unbelievable. And we talk about that Mr. Basketball running. He received 854 of the 1,313 first place votes. I mean, it's really remarkable when you look at what these two young men have done, and now they meet for a big clash on the hardwood. I tell you what, it's going to be standing room only. I was actually on Twitter over the weekend, and I saw through Lansing Everett's Twitter handle that they were actually selling tickets online throughout the weekend above head. Before the game even tipped off, folks, before Tuesday had even gotten here, folks. And that's how big this game is. That is how big this game is. Current Sports, of course, we will be in the house to cover that. You can expect post-game coverage later tonight on WKAR.org. Also, you can catch highlights on Current Sports TV, which we do tape tomorrow, and I'll get to that later on in the show. But it's going to be a fantastic, fantastic matchup. I want to invite now, of course, the man behind the glass, my man, Hunter Grand, Alex Sharg, engineer. Well, no, Alex is busy behind the glass, but he says hi, folks. He says hi. He'll join me in just a sec here on the air. But, you know, to dive more into this, again, I haven't seen a rivalry this big when it comes to high school hoops dating back to when I was in high school, folks. Now, of course, you guys know, I'm born and raised on the west side of Detroit. For me, the big, big basketball team to watch around that time happened to be Detroit Redford High School. Now, there were a few others. Of course, Cody was always a draw. Redford Union, that was always something to see. Renaissance, they're good just about every year. But there was one basketball player who certainly, me and my dad always flocked to the gym to see, and that happened to be Manny Corporal Harris. Of course, Manny went on to play college basketball, had a very short stint in the NBA, and kind of fizzled out. I don't even know what Manny's doing now. But Manny was so good in high school, folks. I remember, you know, and this is during I was like a junior, senior in high school. And I remember going to those games at Redford and going to watch him play, and it was an event. I mean, everyone would come out. Everyone would get the popcorn ready. I mean, the bleachers were full. It was so loud in the gym, and Manny performed. So you're going to see that type of an atmosphere. I'm hoping to see that type of atmosphere at least, and I can pretty much bet on it tonight at Don Johnson Fieldhouse, of course, at Lansing Eastern High School. It is going to be insane. Insane, folks, and I can't wait for it. And, you know, to sort of eclipse that rivalry was something that we've also seen in Michigan and boys high school hoops. A lot of people are kind of comparing what this game could be to the rivalry, the local rivalry, that is, that ensued between Lansing Everett's Desmond Ferguson, who happens to be the head coach of Lansing Everett now, but Desmond Ferguson and Ron Banks, who at the time played for Lansing Sexton High School. Those games were also just crazy, redonkulous. Gym is packed. The atmosphere is unbelievable. Everyone is, you know, it's so loud in that compacted gym. That's what Ferguson and Banks brought to the table years back as well. So it's going to be very, very interesting. I'm sure, you know, this may be turn back the clocks for many of you who enjoy high school hoops here in the area and have been for quite some time. So it's going to be a fantastic game. Alex, how you doing, my man?
Good. I'm actually bummed. I'm actually heading to the Pistons game tonight.
What?
Al. Yeah, I'm just going as a fan.
Watching my bums, huh?
I know I am. Well, hey, they're not bums according to you, man.
They're bums.
Winning.
They're bums winning right now. They are out of the playoff race. They are playing like they beating the Celtics. Okay,
yeah.
Hoorah!
They
beat
the
Bulls.
Yeah.
They don't have.
Well, it's funny
Rose.
Because I'm actually taking a buddy of mine who's staying with me from Chicago. He's from Chicago. He's visiting. I'm taking him because he wants to see the Pistons at the Palace. He's never been.
Nice. The Palace is a beautiful venue.
Right. But
he'll
I was talking
himself
to him because he's a diehard Bulls fan.
Right.
And I asked him the other day. I'm like, wow, like, what happened with the Bulls? Why did the Pistons win? I mean, did the Bulls just were
it's
they
the
just
end
off
of the year? They just laid an egg.
Well,
it's the
he
end
said
of the year
that they really don't have any bigs. The Pistons' bigs are a force to be reckoned with, and sometimes I think, you know, you and I both, Al, kind of underappreciate the impact that Drummond and Monroe both bring to the Pistons.
Yeah, but I think Andre Drummond is so lazy on defense. Of course, he's a walking double-double. He can definitely score, and he grabs rebounds. But the man does not play defense.
Right.
Greg Monroe is starting to play defense now, and I don't even know if he'll be a Piston next year. When
right
he's free agent, don't be surprised if Greg Monroe's not
yeah
a Piston
well
next year.
Anyway,
but
back to
yeah,
back
enjoy
to
yourself,
this
though. Enjoy
yeah
yourself tonight.
Fun.
Yeah, well, but back to this high school game.
Yeah, and I'm bummed I'm missing this. And you talk about rivalries. You know, growing up, I remember going to Cobo to watch Joe Crawford and Malik Harrison. and Aaron Brooks, some of those guards, some of them who actually made it to the NBA, if those names ring a bell. But yeah, man, there was nothing like going to Kobo and watching some of the teams in Metro Detroit and local in Detroit play. And up here, it's cool. I haven't really experienced a rivalry setting. You talk about Desmond Ferguson and Ron Banks. But from what it seems, I mean, this is a battle of the bigs, man. This is 6'10", and how tall is Manuel? 6'9"?
6'9", they're about the same
so,
height.
So, yeah, it's going to be a heck of a matchup. And for me, Davis has that Mr. Basketball crown. So you better believe that Manuel and Everett.
He's going to play with a chip on his shoulder.
They have a chip on their shoulder, man. So, yeah, I mean, for whoever wins this game, it's going to be probably
I think it might be an easy road to, I don't want to say an easy road to the Class A state championship game this weekend, yeah. But I think it may be looking at the rest of the field because these two teams, I clearly think, are the best teams out of this bracket.
Yeah, no, I could totally see that too. And overall, I mean, this is a statement also for college. I mean, look at what we saw with Tum Tum and now who he's about to face in the NCAA tournament. Oregon and Michigan State are not unfamiliar foes, Al. They could very easily play each other one year in the NCAA tournament. So, hey, maybe Manuel and Davis will get back together after this one, too. So
yeah, possibly. And, you know, Deontay Davis, I've been hearing left and right. I've never talked to the kid. I really hope I get to chat with him tonight. But from what I've heard, he's not really an outspoken kid. He's very, very quiet, very laid back. He lets his actions do the talking. But the kid can ball out of control. I mean, you talk about 6'10", 19 points, 17 rebounds. He can also pass the ball pretty well from what I'm told down low. And I think this is a kid who can make an immediate impact on MSU's men's basketball team next season. I mean, when you talk about size, that's what Michigan State is really, really needing, I think. I mean, of course, you got guys like, Matt Costello. Of course, you got, you know, Gavin Schilling. You know, you do got size there. But again, you know, when looking at next year's squad, they're going to be trying to fill a void when it comes to size. I think Deontay Davis, Mr. Basketball, but hey, we remember what happened with Matt, because you know Matt Costello is used to be Mr. Basketball as well during his senior year, and he had kind of a rocky career at Michigan State. But we'll see what happens next year for him. So we'll see Deontay Davis next year. I'm really looking forward to this matchup. Again, we'll have post game coverage of it later on tonight. After the game, after the dust settles for that, just go to WKAR.org to catch my post-game report from Don Johnson Fieldhouse. That should be a fantastic game. Well, I'll tell you what, speaking of the MSU men's basketball team, Tom Izzo, he addressed the media this morning. I'm just getting back probably literally about like 30 minutes ago. I'm just getting back from the Breslin Center as he addressed the media, previewing, of course, the Sweet 16 matchup between the Spartans and the Oklahoma Sooners. It is going to be one fantastic game. Again, Michigan State right now, looking at the Vegas line, they are favored by, the last time I checked, it was a 2-point favorite for Michigan State. I don't know if the line has shifted, you know, since the last time I checked, but Michigan State right now is the favorite in this game. A lot of people aren't looking at that 7 seed, because let's be honest here, Michigan State was not a 7 seed to start this tourney, folks. Many people definitely slept on that. It was funny, I was watching PTI yesterday with Tony Kornheiser and Mike Wilbon, and they absolutely just bashed the committee, the NCAA selecting committee, for making Michigan State a 7 seed and forcing Virginia.
But didn't I say that too?
Yeah, no, I talked about it. I think everybody agreed that Michigan State was not a 7 seed in this tourney. I was very surprised, and I kind of saw from their mindset as to why they made Michigan State a 7 seed, as to why, because the Big Ten wasn't great this year, and looking at the losses that Michigan State had earlier in the year, I can see where they were going with it. But looking at how this team has been able to now birth a Sweet 16 appearance, let's be honest here, Michigan State certainly was underseeded here. I mean, they should not have been a 7 seed. So it was funny because Tony and Mike, they just, you talk about bash the committee. They bashed the committee for about like a minute or 2 minutes on the show yesterday, and deservedly so, because I think it was kind of unfair for Virginia to have to play a team that good so early in the tourney. I would have liked to see a Michigan State of Virginia matchup later on in the tourney, not in the first weekend. So I definitely agree with that as well. But anyway, Tom Izzo, he took the podium today. He hit on so many different spots, as Tom Izzo always does during any interview, let alone being at the podium. And something very interesting. You know, yesterday when I broke down as to why Michigan State is now playing in the Sweet 16 and playing this Oklahoma team out in Syracuse, New York, a lot of it had to do with other players stepping up, other than the big three, other than Brandon Dawson, other than Denzel Valentine, other than Travis Trice, who was fantastic in that Virginia game. But other role players, I mean, when you look at guys like, you know what, Bryn Forbes, who, in my eyes, Bryn Forbes had his best game of his Spartan career. Defensively, I have never seen Bryn Forbes play this well. And I tell you what, Tom Izzo certainly agreed.
Really didn't plan on falling at the end this time because we were switching five. And in every way, shape, and form, it should have been good enough. And we had a miscue. And so I'll take complete responsibility for that. Got to tell you, it's a sickening loss. But I don't want to take anything away from Minnesota.
Sorry, folks. That is the wrong Tom Izzo interview. We'll bash Alex for that one. I believe, do you have the right one, Alex? Here is Tom Izzo this morning. I believe we'll have him in a second. But basically, Tom Izzo was talking about Bryn Forbes and his impact in that game, which was certainly, I mean, again, defensively, Bryn Forbes was outstanding. And it was funny because Tom Izzo equated Bryn Forbes' guarding to that of linebackers. Here it is right here.
I think that was the problem early. I think he knew coming here that, you know, it's going to be more physical than where he was. I think he also knew that he was going to have to defend better. But then we had the, you know, in fairness to him, you got an Appling at the point. Your two guard doesn't have to be as good defensively. You know, I mean, he and Trav, I mean, we had some lineups in there. I mean, the other night, I didn't think he took a step. I don't even think he took a leap. I think he rocket shipped off the ground compared to where he was because he had to guard, you know, as I told D'Antonio, linebackers. You know, he was guarding linebackers. And you watch the film and sometimes he'd even get lost because, you know, his body just isn't where it maybe it would be if we would have been able to keep him out a year and work with him. But he has improved enormously. Is it because Denzel's on him? Is it because Drew Valentine's on him about it? Is it because I'm harping on him every single day? I don't know, but I know this. It sure has gotten better. And I think that's an area that is harder to get better than even making free throws, believe it or not. And I give Bryn a lot of credit because I have been critical of his defense and his you know ability to go in and rebound. And you know, you play the two or three spot in major college, and a lot of times that's where the best players are, and so you got to be able to defend. I mean, it's what made Harris such a special player, if you ask me. He could do both, and yet just like I was critical of him, I am very proud of what he's, as you say, grown into here. Now we got some work to do still in the off season. You know, he better live in that oblong building over there. You know, the football one, because he's got to get stronger. I mean, he's actually lost some weight. But boy, mentality wise, I mean, I think if you looked at him now compared to the beginning of the year, he might have made as big of improvement in that one area. And a lot of it's been in the last couple weeks. Now, he didn't get put on the bench because something he did wrong either. One of the things is I wanted him to score more. But if he looks at going on the bench and wants to get off it more, and that was a motivating factor, then that too worked. So I don't know what buttons you push all the time. But I know this, I relentlessly stayed after him about it, but so did some of our players. And to his credit, I told you early on, he's a kid that wants to please. He really does. And I think it was something that he had to learn that wasn't a comfort level thing for him. And boy, he's made some giant strides and really, really proud of what he's done. So, good question.
Yeah, Bryn Forbes, he was certainly one of the X factors in that game against Virginia. And, you know, it's really remarkable. As you just heard, I mean, you know, he talked about how Bryn Forbes had to guard linebackers in that game. Because, again, when you look at the Virginia roster, there was only one player that was not 6'5". Just one player on that roster. That is a very big team with a lot of girth. And Bryn Forbes to be so undersized. And, you know, you just heard from Izzo, Bryn Forbes certainly has to hit the weight room this offseason to get bigger because he's not that strong, he's not that big, but what an effort against Virginia. So he was certainly a big factor. And it's really cool to see how he is, his maturation process within the program now. Now, as far as Michigan State in that matchup against Oklahoma goes this Friday, Tom Izzo did address what he feels as though is the biggest concern for the Spartans. And I think we all know what that is, right? Rebounding. Rebounding, rebounding, rebounding. It's the reason why Virginia, even though Michigan State had great stretches throughout that game, it's the big reason why Virginia still hung around in that game. They beat Michigan State on the offensive boards and were able to get multiple second chance opportunities. Now, you know, Thomas went on to say, quote, teams have killed us on the offensive glass, but he went on to cope that with having Denzel, BJ, Brandon Dawson, Gavin Schilling not in the game does hurt them. We saw Denzel Valentine. He's been in foul trouble very early on throughout this tournament thus far. Brandon Dawson as well. He's had some troubles as well. Gavin Schilling. You know, we've seen guys, you know, that front court have a bit of struggles, you know, excluding Denzel from that front court because he's in the back court, of course. But when you talk about for the majority of the front court, we've seen them struggle when it comes to boxing out and just grabbing those 50-50 balls. So Michigan State has to be better on the boards, folks. Also, you know, Tom Izzo want to talk about, you know, his team from the free throw line. Tom Izzo believes, of course, with Michigan State being the 16th worst free throw shooting team in the entire nation, Tom Izzo believes that if his team can shoot 60% from the free throw line, he believes they have a great chance at winning games. Point blank, period. And he believes, heck, if, you know, putting that percentage even lower, he believes throughout multiple games this year, if Michigan State would have just shot 55% from the line, they would have had more wins in that win column. So it's pretty interesting, man. Michigan State is finding a way to win despite all of that. They're finding new ways to win when you really break down how they've been pulling out these games. He went on to also talk about the size of Travis Trice and how Travis Trice, even though when you look at him, he's not that physically intimidating. Travis Trice isn't that big, isn't that strong, but Travis Trice is so smart. And the way Travis Trice has fought through injuries throughout his MSU career, you know, it's a pretty cool story that I read, again, from USA Today. And, you know, they talked about how Michigan State season last year, as they were progressing in the tournament, of course, Travis Trice was still battling through injuries. And there was a moment when Michigan State, after the Big Ten tourney, Tom Izzo is in the room and he's looking at the screen and he's thinking to himself, man, you know, I really wonder what a healthy Travis Trice would give us throughout a year. And, you know, it was a really interesting article on it. And, you know, you're starting to see what a full year for Travis Trice can do, what he can do with a full healthy year. So, and Trav has been absolutely unbelievable. It's funny, actually, when I was driving back from the presser today, I actually saw Trav walking from the Breslin, I guess, on his way to class. So that was kind of funny. But, you know, this team now, you know, when they play Oklahoma, folks, what you can, if you're trying to wrap your head around what you can expect in this game on Friday night from Oklahoma. Oklahoma is a team that runs. They love to get out on the fast break. Izzo also addressed that. So Michigan State is going to have to get back on defense. Don't think, even though with Michigan State being the favorite here, there's a lot of people that's slating Michigan State as an easy road now to the final four. I did think the road became easier, without a doubt. But do not sleep on Oklahoma, folks. They got to come out with the same energy that they've had throughout the first two games of this tourney. Also, before we invite our guests here for today's show, I want to talk about the MSU football team very briefly here. Of course, Michigan State, starting today, has officially began spring practice. How about that? Can you believe that the spring game is, you know, now just to what, like a, what, next month? Unbelievable. I can't believe that, folks. But spring practice starts today. So actually, before Tom Izzo took the podium, head coach Mark D'Antonio took the podium. And I had to ask him about the expectations of this team now, seeing as though the past two seasons, Michigan State has finished in the top five of the national rankings. Mark, speaking of Shalique Calhoun, I mean, one of the reasons that he voiced when he took the podium to come back here was to possibly be a part of the team that won a national championship. Is that the clear goal here, the boisterous goal here, or is it too early to think about that?
I think you go with things in progression. You always have to take your goals, and you're building your goals as you go, and then you reevaluate your goals if you don't reach that. You know, after the Ohio State game this past year, we just needed to win out and see what that did for us. But we didn't win a championship. So the first goal has to be to win this side of the legends, which is as tough as there is in college football, really. This side of the conference is as tough as there is in college football. That's about my assumption. But a lot of good teams, a lot of very well-coached football teams. But with that being said, you know, you just sort of leapfrog from there to the next step. And I think it's possible with what we've accomplished. We've got a name for ourselves a little bit. You know, we've got some rankings, and I think you need those things to be able to push yourself over the edge. And you know, we're up there now, so we've got a little bit of a podium, I guess I'd say, if that's the right word. But you've got a little bit of recognition. So what are you going to do with that? So I just feel like our football team, you're always trying to reach farther, reach higher, and I mean, we've got to reach a little further, and you're in a playoff game. And that would be the goal, to get in the playoff game. But to do that, you have to go through the progression.
It took a while, but D'Antonio finally got to it. I like how he kind of danced around that question for a bit, you know, talked about, you know, where this program has been in the past, what they've done the past 2 years. But eventually he said, hey, yeah, the goal is to make the playoff. Deservingly so. And it was kind of a cliche answer, but hey, thanks a lot, Coach D. All right, folks, well, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Chris Solari, Michigan State sports reporter for the Lansing State Journal. He'll talk all things tourney in just a sec. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. All right, welcome back to Current Sports. Ladies and gents, as always, I am your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that Current Sports TV tapes tomorrow night at 6 p.m. I'll be sitting down with the Okemos High School hockey team. That should be fun. A few weeks ago, they actually ended their run to a possible state championship, but one incredible season nonetheless. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience right here at the WKAR-TV studios, just simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. If you can't make the taping but still want to tune into the episode, of course, we air it each and every Thursday night at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. Well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. I heard the travel was hectic coming back from Charlotte, North Carolina to get here back to Lansing, Michigan. But he has made it, and we have him here on Current Sports. Chris Solari, Michigan State sports reporter for LSJ. Chris, how you doing?
Getting ready to leave again.
Are you here yet?
This time of the year it is, you know. We leave on Wednesday, less than 24 hours from now.
Oh, my goodness, Chris.
We'll leave about 12:30. Headed to New York for the Sweet 16. It's that time of the year. I mean, it's, you know, it's on the go, it's hectic, and I don't know if anybody wants it any other way.
Yeah, exactly. I absolutely love it. There's nothing like March Madness. And you know, talking to a few reporters from around the area who made the trip to Charlotte, North Carolina, and, you know, we text yesterday, Chris. I mean, the travel back was pretty hectic. When did you get back in town?
By the time I got back home, it was 11:30 at night, and the day began with about a 5:50, 6 o'clock a.m. wake-up call. And you know, we had flights that were delayed in Charlotte, had flights that were canceled and delayed in Chicago. We ended up not making it to Grand Rapids. We instead took a connection to Kalamazoo. Mm. And then one of our bags was in Kalamazoo, one of them was in Grand Rapids. So we had to drive to Grand Rapids to get it.
Oh.
And then we had to drop people off. And by the time I got home, it was pushing Tuesday. So,
oh, my goodness.
So yeah, so that was an interesting day, to say the least.
Oh, that is unbelievable, Chris. Well, thank goodness you're back here in Michigan, here safely. And again, even though you leave in less than 24 hours, we're glad to have you here on the show. Now, you know, you were down in Charlotte, North Carolina to witness, again, both of those Michigan State games against Georgia and, of course, the win over Virginia to propel the Spartans to the Sweet 16. I'm going to keep it light and fluffy to start here, Chris. How in the world has Michigan State been able to make this run?
Defense. I think that's the biggest thing, first and foremost. Their defense has been outstanding in both games. You know, a little bit of a late game, I don't want to say collapse, but falter against Georgia, but they held up. And then against Virginia, I mean, from the outset, they were clearly the aggressor on defense and really kept Virginia from making that big run to ever get back in it. And Virginia never had a counterpunch for Michigan State's big blitz to open the game with Travis Trice scoring 13 of the 15 first points for the Spartans. And you know, credit Tom Izzo and his staff for prepping on short notice and getting guys to defend those ball screens, those flare screens they're called in Virginia's motion offense, and really for their big men to give up their tendencies and play smart. I mean, that was kind of one of his hallmarks all weekend. As one of his big mantras for his team was you got to play smart, you got to play together, you got to play just good solid basketball. And you know, they, at times on Friday they didn't play so smart, but Sunday's game was one of the smartest 60 minutes of basketball they played all year.
And you know, the player that everyone seemed to be talking about right after that game happened to be, of course, Travis Trice, who to start the game scored 13 of the first 15 points for the Spartans. You know, it's really remarkable when looking at Travis Trice's career that has been plagued throughout his time as a Spartan here with injuries throughout most of his time here, Chris. It's really interesting, though, to see Travis Trice this year. I tell you what, watching that game, that Virginia game, Chris, I mean, he really turned into a big playmaker for the Spartans, especially in late shot clock situations. You know, that big three that he drained, you know, that was NBA ranged in the step back. I mean, it's really remarkable. Did you ever think that Travis Trice would emerge into a player that we're seeing right now?
You know, not to this level. I always thought he had the leadership capabilities. I always thought he had the moxie. But, you know, he's had a hard time staying healthy. And I think that's been the biggest issue for him. You know, he hasn't been able to get a lot of minutes. Did I ever think he'd be playing 39 minutes in a second-round game? No. I mean, he played outstanding in that game against Virginia for the first 5 or 8 minutes offensively. Then he went completely cold. He did not get a point until Michigan State needed it. Virginia got close again, and Trice willed it to happen by getting those 8 points late. You know, he got him a free throw line, hit a big three, drove to the basket again. I mean, those were the kind of things. You know, that's what a good player does. You know, you can shut a guy out that's a star. You can shut him out for a while, but you can't hold him down continually. And Travis Trice is really kind of coming on as Michigan State's star here in the final few weeks. I mean, that's not to discount what Brandon Dawson has done and not to discount what Denzel Valentine has done, but there was a point that if you were watching the CBS broadcast, you know, Tom Izzo pointed at Travis Trice late in the game and said, "I want the ball in your hands," and that speaks volumes.
Yes, it certainly does. And, you know, right again, folks, if you got a question for Chris Solari, Michigan State sports reporter for the Lansing State Journal, call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, or you can tweet me at AlMartinWKR. I actually have a tweet from Steve from Saginaw. He wants to ask you, Chris, do you think Travis Trice is an NBA guy?
I don't. I think he's probably more of a guy that'll have a really solid, long career overseas. But right now, I mean, he's still a 6 foot guard that plays a little bit more like a two guard, and I don't think that necessarily translates to the NBA as much. I mean, he's good off the dribble, but he wouldn't be what I would call your prototypical one, you know, which he would have to be at the NBA level. You'd have to be a point guard, run the show kind of guy. He can do that adequately at the college level, but he's more effective coming off the ball or playing off the ball, I think.
Right. No, I'm dead on with you, Chris. I definitely agree there. That's going to be a hard transition.
I think it shows, I mean, because that's what they've been doing with, you know, when Michigan State's big run down the stretch started, it happened and coincided with Trice moving over to the two and Tum Tum Nair moving into the one. And, you know, with Lou Rawls at the point guard, the offense has been going vertical a lot more and a lot quicker.
Yeah, no, that's certainly true. Now, Chris, when you look at the bracket, the way the bracket is now set up for Michigan State, I mean, many people, you know, were looking at that Virginia game, including myself, as the one big hurdle for Michigan State to get over. After that, man, you know, Final Four is looking a bit brighter after that because, you know, now they play an Oklahoma team that's good. I don't think they're great, but still they can give Michigan State some problems. And then after that, they either play the winner of course, Louisville and NC State. So do you think, you know, Michigan State makes it to the Final Four? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think that they've got the best path. I'll say that. And I mean, it's going to be a battle. I mean, we're sitting here and a lot of people around the state and around the country have more or less penciled Michigan State into the Final Four based on past history, based on the fact that they beat Oklahoma last year, based on the fact that they've beaten Louisville, based on the fact, you know, all these things that make no sense and mean nothing come this time of year. Mm-hmm. Come this point, anybody can beat anybody on a given night. And, I mean, let's face it, this is still the team that a month ago was missing critical free throws down the stretch and losing to Minnesota.
Right,
you know,
right.
The team that collapsed against Wisconsin. So, you know, to expect Michigan State to put together the same kind of performances night after night that it's been putting together through two games in the NCAA tournament and through most of the Big Ten tournament might be a little bit foolish and I guess a little too rushed to judgment on the fans' part, because you still, you know, the history and track record of this team this season is that it on a given night can just vanish. So
I've said the same thing, Chris.
Really as close as it is,
right? So for Spartan fans,
I do like their path,
right?
And I like the way they've been playing. I think between those two things, I think they can get there. I think they can be in Indianapolis.
And, you know, that's the same thing. Even with the success that Michigan State has had to get to this point right now, of course, Sweet 16, every Spartan fans out there is losing their mind. I feel a lot of them out there do have Michigan State penciled into that Final Four, as you just alluded to. But, you know, I can't help but think about what took place this past year, Chris. And, again, they've seemed to make a 180 here, but how long will it last is my big question. So do you think Spartan fans out there, you know, watching this take place in March here for Tom Izzo and company, do you think they should take what's going on with a big bag of salt at the same time?
I don't know. I mean, you know, that's the thing, is this is the 13th Sweet 16 in 18 years. Mm-hmm. There's something to be said that it's not just what's in the water around here. Let's put it that way. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on inside Breslin, inside the Berkowitz Center, that create this success. There's obviously the identifying the talent first and foremost on the court, but also understanding and knowing these guys' personalities between the coaches and between each other as teammates. I think there's a lot of hard work that goes into this. And that's one of the reasons I think that, you know, you can't take this with a grain of salt. You really have to appreciate what's going on with it. And I don't want to say expect it, but, you know, you should expect the results to be better than you usually do. I mean, let's face it, over the course of 18 years, how many times has Tom and those teams felt like a letdown in March? Mm-hmm. There's been a few. It's not perfect, but, you know, the preponderance of the evidence points to that Michigan State will be successful and at least make it to the second weekend of the tournament.
Chris Solari of the Lansing State Journal. All right, Chris, when you look at the seeding for Michigan State, you know, it's funny, I was watching PTI yesterday on ESPN, and Tony Wilbon Tony Kornheiser and Mike Wilbon, excuse me, they were talking about how Michigan State being a 7 seed was a bit unfair to Virginia. To have a game of that magnitude with two great teams playing in the first weekend was a bit unfair. Do you think Michigan State with a 7 seed, what should have been a 7 seed, I should say?
I mean, you know, leave it to the guys that live in Northern Virginia to play that card.
Yeah.
You know, I don't necessarily know. I mean, the thing is, it's a body of work. That's one thing the NCAA has said. And you know, some of their committee members have said that they would have been a 6 seed had they beat Wisconsin. Now, I think that their resume showed they should have been a 6 seed. But obviously the committee members felt differently. And really for Michigan State, I mean, the bracket couldn't have shaped up better. I don't think so. I mean, it's still the bracket that's missing the 1 seed now. You know, it's you know, with Villanova getting upset, that bodes Michigan State's favor. But at the same point, you know, this is still a team that lost 11 games during the season, 10 during the regular season. So to say that a 7 seed wasn't fair to Virginia, I mean, come on. You know, maybe you could make the case that the 2 seed wasn't fair to Virginia and they should have been a 1. Over a Duke, since they did beat him in the conference. But I don't necessarily think that you could sit there and objectively say that the 7 was unfair for Michigan State in Virginia's favor.
Chris, Michigan State and Oklahoma, of course, tip time is around 10 p.m. on Friday night.
Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah.
It'll be closer to north. It'll be probably north of 10:30.
Right. Oh, you think so? Oh, that late, man.
Yeah.
I tell you what, we got to juice up on the caffeine, man, around here. That's going to be very interesting start time for Michigan State. Again, so when looking at that game, what can we expect in that game from an Oklahoma's perspective? What type of team is Oklahoma?
Oklahoma likes to run. I mean, Tom Izzo thinks that this is going to be a big track meet in this game, and I don't necessarily disagree. They've got bigs that can move. They've got guys that guards that can get up and down the court. You know, one thing to watch, I mean, Tom Izzo said today that Matt Costello, and Costello said it over the weekend that he's battling a little bit of tendonitis in his knee, which, you know, when you get in a game that like Izzo says, could be a, quote, track meet, then, you know, you got to be able to run. You got to be able to have the bigs getting up and down the court. You know, Matt Costello is going to be needed because Oklahoma has five starters that can score. They've got five starters who've started all 34 games.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got big men who can go to the basket. They've got guards who can get there. You know, Costello's going to need to be used effectively and efficiently. And I think the other player that Michigan State really is going to need more out of, a lot more, and it's been said a lot this year, is Gavin Schilling. You know, Schilling has had moments where he is, you know, in the first game against Georgia on Friday, he picked up early fouls and went to the bench. And there were more than a few spots that he avoided fouls in the first half of the Virginia game that more than likely could have been called that weren't. You know, he kind of got a little bit of luck on that, but they need him on the court for this game.
Now,
that's the other thing is,
yeah.
From a depth standpoint, Michigan State needs to use their guys. They need to use Marvin Clark off the bench. They need to use Alvin Ellis off the bench. All these guys need to play. Bryn Forbes, for example. I mean, they're going to need to play some solid minutes in reserve because Oklahoma doesn't go as deep. I mean, they got starters that get the bulk of their points and get the bulk of their minutes. So, I mean, if Michigan State can get out, run, and wear them down, that could be a difference in this game.
Now, Chris, whatever goes down, win or lose, on Friday night against Oklahoma, I mean, you know, when you look at it, the Spartans have sort of already overachieved. Is that safe to say?
You know, it's funny. Tom Izzo was asked whether or not now this should be looked at as an overachieving team. And he said that this doesn't have as much talent as a lot of his other teams. But, you know, there's something to be said about chemistry versus talent. I mean, you know, I mean, look at Golden State. You know, that's a great example with Draymond Green there of a team that not a lot of people felt were first-round, high-major kind of NBA draft picks. They've come together, and they play their roles, and they play them well, and they play them effectively. That's when Michigan State is doing their best and making their biggest jumps. In this past month, these guys have embraced their roles, whether it's Bryn Forbes moving into the starting lineup for Travis Trice and Travis Trice going to the bench or vice versa, mm-hmm. you know, down the stretch here with them flip-flopping. You know, that takes some serious ego checking. And I think that these guys, they're all talented, but they're not supremely talented, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. Yeah.
You know, I think that there's a good chance for this team just simply through its own willpower, through its own togetherness, to get to Indianapolis. But again, I mean, you know, there's also some things that there's warts. You know, let's face it, there's been warts where they, at times, they won't make their free throws. At times, they get a little too reliant on three-point shots. So, you know, it'll be, it's not, don't put it in pen that they're going to be in Indianapolis and in the Final Four, but, you know, you got to, as Tom Izzo has said, you got to win the weekend, but win the first game first.
All right, Chris. Well, before I let you get out of here, I'm going to put you on the hot seat. Michigan State and Oklahoma, who wins?
I think Michigan State wins in part because of what they've shown in the past two games and the ability to hold on and close out, something that had been missing for a little bit. It seems like they've learned their lesson, so I've got Michigan State moving on to the Elite Eight. And beyond that, as we saw last year with UConn, anything can happen, and it's all a crapshoot.
Yeah, that's the thrill of March Madness for you. Chris Solari, Michigan State sports reporter for the Lansing State Journal. Hey, Chris, always a pleasure. Thanks a lot, my man.
Anytime, Al. Take care, man.
All right, you too. We'll see you soon. All right, folks. Well, Chris has Michigan State beating Oklahoma. What do you think? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll have Top 5 Tuesday for you, folks. We'll list the top five moments, or at least my top five moments, in Spartan March Madness history, folks. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. Yes, I am your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that Current Sports TV tapes tomorrow night. That's right. Get your ticket for free by simply going to WKAR.org. I'll be sitting down with head coach Bill Cipolla of the Okemos hockey team, and the entire team will be in the house. It is going to be one fun time tomorrow night. I love taping Current Sports TV. It is always a thrill. So again, folks, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience where we have a lot of fun, just simply go to WKAR.org and you can attend that. Thanks a lot to Chris Solari, who just joined me. You just heard from Chris Solari, Michigan State sports reporter of the Lansing State Journal. Chris Solari actually has Michigan State beating the Sooners this Friday night to move on to the Elite Eight. What do you think? Again, folks, only 7 minutes left. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You know what? Interesting. You know, I'm just browsing the net here. I'm always on my laptop here during the show. And, you know, I saw this last night, but it was really late, and I thought it was a dream because I was kind of got, you know when you're laying down, you kind of like bobbing in and out of late sleep, and you're like, oh, man, you know, you're kind of looking at things, but you're kind of in a daze. I was like that. I was kind of looking at my phone, but I was so sleepy. I passed out with my phone actually on my chest last night. And, you know, I read a stat that I thought I had dreamed, but I woke up, and it's definitely true. James Harden of the Houston Rockets scored 44 points last night. Man, I mean, I tell you what, I may go on the record to say this. I think that this year's NBA MVP race between James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Steph Curry may go down as the most intriguing MVP race in NBA history. Because every single night I'm seeing either one of these three throw up huge numbers, and I'm kind of at a toss-up right now. If I had to place my vote, if you know someone came to me and said, "Hey Al, you got to place your vote right now. Who's your NBA MVP?" I may have to still go with Harden. I think Harden's done more with less. But man, oh man! I mean, looking at Russell Westbrook now in absence of Kevin Durant, especially if the Thunder make the playoffs. Man, you can make a case for either one of those guys. Then Steph Curry is just an incredible basketball player. Actually, you know, Isaac Constance is actually co-engineering the show right now with Alex Sharg. Isaac, you're a big NBA guy. I mean, am I right in saying that this is the best NBA MVP race I've ever seen?
Well, you think. I mean, LeBron's won the past few, with the exception of KD winning last year's. But LeBron's won them in total runaways. I mean, the guy, you know, averages 27 points. What, 8 rebounds, 6 assists every season? I mean, this year, it is really close. And I've got to say, you know, the Pelicans, who are one of my favorite teams, they look like they're going to lose out to the Thunder. And it's because of Russell Westbrook. Now, not only is he playing without Kevin Durant, but also without Serge Ibaka.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And he's just fantastic. So, yeah, I'm feeling Russell Westbrook, but it is a toss-up for me. It's so close.
Yeah, again, I think it is the best NBA MVP race I've ever seen. Again, any given night, you're seeing one of those three guys just throw up a ridiculous amount of points. I mean, and you see, you know, Russell Westbrook, he's a walking triple-double right now. Real quick, Top 5 Tuesday for you folks. Of course, each and every Tuesday, we love to dive into a Top 5 sporting topic. And, of course, in honor of the MSU men's basketball team making the Sweet 16 here in March Madness, we decided to look at the Top 5 moments in Spartan March Madness history. Here we go. Alrighty, ladies and gents, it is time for Top 5 Tuesday, where we list the top 5 sporting topic. And of course, in honor of March Madness and in honor of Tom Izzo and the MSU men's basketball team, we decided to look at the MSU men's basketball team and their history and give you the top 5 moments in Spartan March Madness history. It's a lot of history, I just said. But yeah, top 5 moments in Spartan history, folks. Spartan men's basketball history, this is my personal list that you may disagree with. These are stories that I thought throughout my entire life as a student here at Michigan State, you know, coupled with me being a broadcaster here in the area, that I thought were, you know, just unbelievable moments for me. Now, first, you know, I want to go back, even though I wasn't born during this time. 1979 is a year that certainly rings true when it comes to Spartan men's basketball. And that was the year, actually, when Michigan State won the national championship. It was the, of course, Indiana State game versus Michigan State. Indiana State approaching that game undefeated. They were the Kentucky of 1979, okay, folks? Larry Bird and company, they were just beating everybody. But then they ran into a man by the name of Irvin Magic Johnson. Magic was absolutely spectacular in that game. And Michigan State ended up beating Indiana State to win and capture the NCAA championship. The reason why that's numero uno on my list is because everyone talks about 1979. Everyone who's a Spartan knows how Magic Johnson is a Michigan State alumni. You saw Magic down in Charlotte, North Carolina to support those Spartans throughout that entire weekend. He talked during, you know, in countless locker room interviews with the team as well. That year sort of set the foundation for what Magic Johnson would become in the NBA and in basketball history. So you got to put that on the list, and that's numero uno for me. Number two has to be the Lacey Holdsworth story from last year. What a touching moment. Of course, Adrian Payne, Michigan State forward, who now is in the NBA playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He used to play for the Atlanta Hawks. He formed a very close bond and relationship along with the rest of the team with a very young woman, young girl by the name of Lacey Holdsworth, who at the time was battling cancer. Lacey, of course, passed away. It was an emotional time. I remember, there was the visual and memorial that was held right at the Breslin Center. I went down and covered that. Unbelievable moment. Number three for me, in 2000, Michigan State won the national championship. Tom Izzo's only national championship. MSU beating Florida, 89-76. How can you forget that? Number four had to be the Final Four in 2010. The reason why that's on my list is because I remember going to Cedar Fest as a student, and I will never forget that night for the rest of my life. One of the most insane in the membrane nights I have ever had as just on this earth, okay? Not even as a Spartan, okay? And I'm going to do it. I'm going to put number five as the Michigan State and Virginia win. I thought with all this team has gone through this season to go to the Sweet 16 and to beat a very gritty Virginia team, what a win. So I'm putting that on my list. What do you think, folks? Go to facebook.com/currentsports if you disagree with any of my list, and I'll read your comments on tomorrow's show. Thanks so much to all of you for joining in on today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.